new book by cultural sociologist Dr. Jason Mast from the University of Warwick points to Bill Clinton's US presidency as a game changer for modern politics. The book, The Performative President, Crisis and Resurrection During the Clinton Years, shows how politics has become a process of performance, with presidential leadership shaped by media criticism and public opinion. We spoke to Dr. Mast about his book and how he thinks Bill Clinton changed the political landscape. Why did you choose to focus your book on Bill Clinton's presidency?
Part of it is autobiographical, just coming into sort of a political awareness during the Clinton's tenure, during the politics of the 1990s. And I remember sitting in an office listening to the impeachment hearings taking place during 1998 and 1999 when the Senate convened, and just being riveted by the drama of it all. But also, you know, Bill Clinton just is a sort of a compelling, dramatic or comedic character. So something about the person of the president, his particular way of embodying that role, and also the drama of the proceedings. But likewise, there are academic or intellectual reasons for focusing on the politics of the 1990s. I mean, Bill Clinton was the first Democratic president in quite some time in the U.S., and then he won re-election, which was also historically significant. And though probably foremost was that his presidency contained an impeachment, and that's a dramatic event in its own right. I had read a really compelling interpretation of Watergate, Nixon's resignation, in the early 70s, and it used a particular sociological framework. And so intellectually I thought, I wonder if I can use that same framework to help interpret or explain what was going on with Clinton. What would that be like almost 30 years later? And Emile Durkheim, this classical sociological figure, had talked about ritual foundations of social life. And Watergate had been explained in a very compelling way using this ritual framework. And so I tried to talk about Clinton impeachment process as a collective, grand national ritual. And I kept on running into problems here and there, conceptually and theoretically. So it became a real intellectual challenge, I think.
What was different about what was happening in America at the time he was in office?
This was a return for the United States to hyper-partisanship, real heated and, I could say, morally charged battles between opposing political parties over the trajectory of the nation. So there was an abatement of partisanship during the Reagan years, during the 80s, and during the first Bush Sr.'s presidency. And then with Clinton, we get this really strong sort of retrenchment back into party identification and battles between the two. So that was interesting and new. I mean, of course, there'd been hyper-partisanship in the past, but this was strong flaring up of that phenomenon again. But also, there was technologically, there were changes afoot. We had the proliferation of cable news channels in the United States in the late 90s. CNN already existed. I guess in the early 90s, they had succeeded tremendously in terms of viewership ratings with the first Gulf War. And then in 1995, during the O.J. Simpson scandal. And so then in 96, in Bill Clinton's second term, we have two new cable news channels coming online. And so you see a shifting in the media environment, basically, what I call the means of symbolic distribution. So you have new avenues and new narrators to political and national stories. The internet, of course, is spreading through the U.S. at the time. And so, I call it the perfect storm of media proliferation. But, media itself and technology doesn't explain what happened, the politics of the era, but it contributes to it as well.
Yeah. Was Bill Clinton a popular president?
Was Bill Clinton a popular president? I mean, this is a really fascinating question because, as we move through time away from his presidency and other events occur, interpretations of what he was and what he represents to us and how we experienced him at the time change. So September 11th changed the American sort of imagination, I think, dramatically. And in some ways, Bill Clinton's reputation and the politics of that time, the new interpretations or, more current interpretations are much more favorable towards this character. We can look back and look at the incredible sort of economic expansion at the time and I think be a little bit nostalgic. And with nostalgia comes a distortion, but a nostalgia of this as a happy time, pre-crisis time. So I think he's remembered fondly now. During the 1990s, this was not the case. I mean, he won the 92 election, but in my analysis, it was as much George Bush Sr. losing that election as much as Bill Clinton winning it. I think the New York Times called it a tepid mandate of fragile proportions or something like this. So there was hope and there was enthusiasm, as there is for most presidential elections, but it wasn't as enthusiastic as we might remember today. And then his popularity ratings declined to record lows at the time in 1994, when we have what are called the midterm, congressional midterm elections. And this really, his lack of popularity, the disfavor, because he was shrouded in scandal at the time, and conservative opponents that were running for Congress would run against Clinton, call it like nationalizing the midterms. And this ushered in a massive conservative presence in the House and the Senate. But it was the conservative success that helped, I guess paradoxically, helped make Clinton eventually over time become a more popular and favorable character. So by the time he was running for re-election in 96, he had shored back up. And I attribute that as much to Clinton's own sort of charisma and the politics of inclusiveness and being a gregarious and accessible fellow, as much as to what late columnist for the Washington Post, a guy named David Broder, called it the Republicans' meanness problem. And so, and this is part of my explanation of the politics of the decade, is that, you know, we only make sense of these political characters in relationship to other characters. Despite the fact that the conservatives or the Republicans did have a solid, maybe a third of the nation, you know, fervent support, I think for the left, and most importantly for the swayable middle, the meanness problem for the conservatives helped to facilitate or inflate Clinton's own popularity. So he became much more of an endearing and interesting character because, you know, we didn't like the other people so much. We couldn't trust him. But Clinton also, he embodied like two American narratives, that he had come from a broken home, impoverished, and he seemed to have worked, you know, through his own brilliance and hard work to have made something of himself. So in some ways he was a political entrepreneur, and that really taps into the American imagination as a heroic like figure. On the other hand, he was also Slick Willie, and Slick Willie was a bank robber who was known as the gentleman bank robber. And so he would go rob a bank, and this was during the time of the Depression. So, you know, the banks were foreclosing on homes and family farms and, you know, very much like a villainous character. And so Slick Willie would go, and he would rob the bank, and then the police would show up and maybe some reporters, and the people in the bank would tell the reporters, like, oh, he was so polite. He was such a gentleman. You know, so it was this, and in some ways he could be somewhat seen as a hero, like a Robin Hood-like figure. And Clinton, again, embodied that, a failed and deeply flawed person in some important ways. But also, by outwitting his opponents, he tapped into this heroic-like sentiment.
And how did the media portray him?
That's a very good question. Well, at this time, there were important changes in the media landscape in the late 80s, where Ronald Reagan had basically overturned the fairness doctrine, which ensured that in discussions of politics that both sides or multiple sides on an issue would be able to have equal time on air to express their interpretations. And with that no longer part of the institution of political media, you have the rise of what we call right-wing radio. So, and this became a very, I think, powerful force during the 1990s. I would say a figure like the radio broadcaster Rush Limbaugh owes his success as much to Clinton as to his own wit and political acumen. And he is a very funny and smart guy, regardless if I agree with his politics. So there was a strong oppositional voice, multitude of voices. Nonetheless, I think that generally when Clinton would feel strong pressure, for instance, in 1995, there was a battle over the budget, federal budget, and because of the stalemate between Clinton and the congressional Republicans, they decided to shut down the government three times, I can't remember exactly. And generally, like in moments like this, I think the American press would support Clinton. Nonetheless, generally, Clinton, in really moments of crisis, could gather favorable press. Although, when we move towards impeachment later in the middle of his second term, 97 and 1998, there, you know, he was just subjected to withering criticism in the press.
Well, one of the central discussions in your book is about how Clinton was formally impeached, but he was also receiving record high public approval at the time. So what do you think was happening there?
So, and this goes back to, you know, kind of why I wrote this book, this question, which was when I first started out really digging into it, I contained the analysis just basically to late 97 and 1998. In January, Monica Lewinsky revelations came to public awareness, and then he was impeached by the House in December of 98. So I tried to, you know, track public opinion of formations over the course of these months and, you know, look at the midterms. There were 1998 midterms at that time, using conventional political concepts and looking at conventional sites. But the more that I did this, the more I began to think that you can't really understand. I couldn't understand what was taking place in 1998 without sort of extending the analysis backward in time, earlier in his administration. And so the explanation for both being impeached and amidst record high public approval ratings starts with when he first steps onto the national stage. And so this is where I turn towards a performance-based framework. And I talk about the important characters during those prior 6 years as characters in a political drama and the plots that formed over those 6 years and how the characters related to one another over time. And so that the explanation lies in the narratives that Clinton seemed to embody, but then also it goes back to the meanness problem, that his opposition is embedded in this drama as well, and how they take on character structures and engage and try to facilitate certain plot formations at the time. By the time 1998 and the Lewinsky revelations come into the public, at this point, the conservatives had been offering the American public this plot that this was a villainous character in the White House and that he was involved in all sorts of nefarious deeds. And they had been promising what we'd say that called the smoking gun. But for years, for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, really almost since the moment he took office. And so we had been following this plot line. I say we as an audience member in this public going, okay, well, at some point, the dramatic tension has to rise to the point where the gun is shown to have gone off. There is a victim, and then the bad guy's fingerprints are to be found on the murder weapon. And if that is never delivered dramatically, you begin to doubt the storyteller. And this is, I think, in part what happened with Clinton's popularity and his success, ultimate success, remaining in office, is that by the time the Lewinsky event happened and the investigations took place, is that we could no longer trust or really, you know, have faith in the opposition's narrative power. They could no longer, they were constrained. They could no longer tell their story effectively, which basically ceded all narrative opportunity to the Clinton team, which did this dramatically and wonderfully, starting with the lie. I did not, you know, have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, which was enormously effective and powerful. And so the explanation lies in how the important political players, how they entered into the political stage, how they developed meaning formations, how plots unfolded over time, and issues of dramatic tension.
And what about the current political landscape?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, Obama's, you could say that the dramatic structures at play during his presidency really have some spooky similarities to Clinton's, again, Democratic president, who was, you know, welcomed in with some enthusiasm. Now, I think Obama received much more enthusiasm. There was much more hope pinned to, and again, this was after the, you know, really dramatic 8 years of terrorism and warfare during the Bush years. So, you know, he had a good crowd ready for change and for something at least more positive news. So you have this some enthusiasm, a rebirth, chance for a new beginning that once he's in office erodes very quickly. Like Clinton suffered in his first midterms, 2 years after his first inauguration, President Obama experiences the same thing. The conservative victories during Obama's first midterms were even more dramatic than Clinton's. You have a strong sort of mobilization of the opposition. With Obama, there's the rise of the Tea Party. With Clinton, he had the rise of the Gingrich Republicans. Clinton, after the midterms, he was the president during a domestic terrorism event, the bombing of a federal building in Oklahoma. And Obama, there was an assassination of a Democratic, she was a congressperson, but Gabriella Giffords, so she gets shot. So you have hope followed by failure, followed by violence, and a mobilized and energized political opposition. which leads to, for both of these presidents, re-election. And it looks like this Obama's second term is going to look very similar to Clinton's as well. Hopefully it won't include an impeachment, although scandals are erupting and proliferating like mushrooms. But, you know, political stalemates. It's hard to foresee that much is going to take place in the next 3 years now.